Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to the penultimate edition of WGR's Fast Track, our next to last show of the season here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And we've got a great one lined up for you this morning, but we can't waste any time because we have to go right to the AT&T hotline because joining us live from Brainerd, Minnesota, he drives the Make-A-Wish Dodge Charger funny car for Don Schumacher Racing. NHRA funny car driver Tommy Johnson Jr. joins us live. Tommy, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Good morning from Brainerd, Minnesota.
How are things up there in the land of a thousand lakes?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's been a great weekend all weekend. A little overcast this morning. Cooler temperature, so I mean, just going to be fast today on the racetrack.
It is getting down to a very crucial point of your season, Tommy. Two races left in what I guess you would say the regular season for the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series before your countdown to the championship begins. And these are two pretty important races for you as you try to remain in postseason contention here in the top funny car division.
Yeah, I tell you what, the countdown to the championship, the top 10 drivers fight it out for that. We're currently number 7, just a couple points out of number 6, and you know, we'd like to get yourself seated as high as you can, and we've kind of been coming on. We ran really well at the beginning of the season, and then we had some changes. We've been experimenting, had a rough part of the middle, but right now, if it's a time to hit your stride, right now would be that time, and our car kind of seems to be doing that. So looking forward to it. With only 2 to go, those last 6 are so important. Now's the time to have your car running good, and we have right now. We semifinals the last 2 races, and performance is really looking up. And this weekend, qualified 5th, and ran really well in qualifying, so I think we're peaking at the right time of the year this year.
Yeah, this seems like today could be a Tommy Johnson kind of day. You've gone to the finals at Brainerd 2 out of the last 3 years, and as you said, you're coming off a pair of semifinal runs out west and a number 5 qualifiers you mentioned, but things are looking, got to be looking pretty up for you and your Make-A-Wish Don Schumacher Racing team here going into eliminations today.
Yeah, it is. I tell you what, it gives you a lot of confidence. You know, in driving these cars, you got to have confidence in your car and your team, and right now, it's really on the upswing. Like you said, we got runner-up here last year, but that was our peak. We went downhill from there, and this year we're just starting to climb to that peak. So I think if we learned anything from last year, we learned not to peak too early, and this season I'm pretty excited about it. It seems to be going perfect at the right time.
NHRA funny car driver Tommy Johnson Jr. joining us. Tommy, real quickly, just kind of give us a whole overall recap of your season to date. As we said, 7th in the point standings, but overall, how has the year gone for you? Has it been kind of an up-and-down season, or how would you describe it?
Yeah, it has. It has been a little up-and-down, and you know, we start off the season strong. We were runner-up for the second race of the season, and both 4-wide races. We were in the final round, both 4-wide. Then we stumbled a little bit. NHRA changed up the track prep. They were trying to look for a way to control the speeds of these cars, and they decreased the track preparation, you know, took some of the glue away. We stumbled a little bit trying to figure out the combination for that. And over the summer, we started the season with a 6-disc clutch. The car was performing well. Once they changed the track, we were having trouble with 6-discs. We went back to the 5, and we just had so much more data with a 5-disc clutch, and we're starting to get a handle on it now. The car's been real, real consistent. That's the key. Yeah, you want to run those big numbers and be the hero, but you need to do it every time. You need to run well every run down the racetrack, and consistency is the big key, and that's what we've got back now. We went down the track 3 out of 4 runs in qualifying, solid, consistent runs right in the hunt. So that's what gives you the confidence. You have a consistent race car going up there knowing you got a good car under you. It's easier to do your job, and that's the key now. You need to be quick, but you need to be consistent.
Break that down for me in layman's terms, Tommy, because I'm not a mechanical guy. When you got, say, going from a 6-disc clutch to a 5-disc clutch, can you explain that maybe what the difference is? Is that the number of shifts you have to make?
No, it's how many clutch discs are actually in the clutch. You have either 5 clutch discs and 4 floaters, or you have 6 clutch discs and 5 floaters in there. And it was just a power level. You know, we make 11,000 horsepower with these cars, and the power level had gotten so much that we put so much heat wearing the clutch going down the racetrack that the 5-disc was having issues. Just couldn't get the heat out of it, and it would weld together and lock up, spin the tires.
Okay.
6-disc in there, dissipates the heat a little bit, and things were good. But now we don't need all that power. With the track not prepped as quite as good as it used to be, you have to manage your power real well, and we're not putting the power to the ground like we were, so we can get away with the five. And we ran really well with that five for a long time, so we're going back to the old record books and seeing what we did, and then see if we can recreate that magic.
Tommy, of course, you have the Make-A-Wish Foundation on the side of your Dodge Charger funny car, and I have safe to assume just working with an organization like Make-A-Wish, I'm sure you meet a lot of courageous people in connection with those folks.
Absolutely. You know, it's such a unique sponsorship because they don't pay anything to be on our car. Terry Chandler funded this entire team, wanted to give back, and she wanted to raise awareness for Make-A-Wish, and just been a great relationship. We lost Terry a year ago. She had some cancer and passed away, but her husband wanted to continue this in her honor. And we had eight kids out yesterday, every race on the tour on Saturday. We bring Make-A-Wish kids out to track and just let them have fun and enjoy themselves for a day. Be a normal kid, and they're going through some tough times. And just it's a really unique opportunity and really rewarding, to see them come out and cheer on the car. And we had a great group yesterday, a couple older kids. One of them even had wish was to restore a 74 Firebird, and
wow.
So he was really into it, so it's been a really neat experience, and just able to give back, put some smile on a lot of faces, and not only the kids but also the family, because they go through it with them, and to see everybody come out and enjoy themselves, be a normal family for a day, it's awful cool.
Tommy, last thing, I know you got to get to driver intros, but last question, one of the other partners there with Don Schumacher Racing has a Buffalo connection. New Era Cap, I believe, provides headwear for Don Schumacher Racing, and they're headquartered right here in Buffalo, New York, so it's a nice little connection to Western New York with your team.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm hoping to put on one of those New Era Caps in the winter circle this afternoon. That'd be it's the best kind of New Era Cap you can get right there, the one that says winner on it.
That's indeed it, and hoist that Wally in victory lane. Well, Tommy, thank you so much. I know it's a busy race morning for you, but thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us here this morning. Good luck today at Brainerd, Minnesota. We'll be watching on Fox Sports 1 at 2 o'clock Eastern, and best of luck the rest of the season with the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Hope we can be on that show all day long for you, and see if we can't repeat. Won this race in 07, love to repeat.
All right, Tommy, good luck today.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. Tommy Johnson Jr. from the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, and they with their schedule this morning in Brainerd, we had to squeeze them in right off the top of the show, but appreciate Tommy taking the time to talk to us here this morning on WGR's Fast Track. As Tommy said, number five qualifier on the Funny Car ladder today, Robert Height, the number one qualifier in Funny Car. Billy Torrance is your top qualifier in Top Fuel. And Erica Enders, who we've had on the show here in the past, she's the number one qualifier in Pro Stock. And again, you can catch eliminations from Brainerd starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon on Fox Sports 1. There's no cup race on TV, but do have some other racing options if you're going to be watching TV this afternoon. That's one of them with the Lucas Oil Nationals from Brainerd, Minnesota. And again, coming down to the end of their regular season and their kind of like their playoff system with their final races of the year, where they take the top 10 in points and raise up their point levels and try and set them up for a run to their championship when they hand those out at Pomona at the end of the year in November. Good morning. Once again, now we can kind of do the official show welcome, as we had to get right to Tommy Johnson right off the top there, as here at 11:09 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. But thank you for tuning in to WGR's Fast Track. Great show for you for the rest of the show, too, after setting up our big guest right out of the box. But we got a lot to talk about this morning. Of course, last night, the Monster Energy Cup Series NASCAR was in action at Bristol Motor Speedway for the annual night race at Bristol. And Kurt Busch picking up the win, a huge win for Kurt at this point of the season, at this point of his career, really. Huge win for him last night at Bristol and locking himself into the postseason in NASCAR. So we've got that to talk about here. We've got some other big NASCAR news that's come out this week, and we're going to talk about that here in the opening segment. And phone lines are open here the rest of this opening segment for you to chime in, too, at 803-0551, 888-550-2550 are the numbers if you want to get in touch with us here this morning to talk about anything going on in the world of motorsports. You want to talk about NHRA, go right ahead. Feel free to chime in. IndyCar at Pocono, local racing, it's all on the table here. You can also send us a tweet at FastTrack550. And also we're on Facebook, too, facebook.com/WGR Fast Track, as Kurt Busch on older tires, held off Kyle Larson to pick up the win last night at Bristol for his first win of the season. Kurt Busch over Kyle Larson. Chase Elliott led a good portion of the middle portion of the race, but came home third as he's in search of his second win of the season now, coming off that victory at Watkins Glen a couple of weeks ago that we were there to witness. Joey Logano, Eric Jones rounding out the top five. Clint Bowyer also led a lot of laps last night. He was the other car that stayed out late in the race to try and go for it on the older tires. He did not have as much success and was kind of spinning the tires on a couple of those late race restarts, and he fell back there, but still wound up coming home in sixth place. Ryan Blaney led early. He finished seventh. Alex Bowman, a good run. Jimmy Johnson, a much-needed top-10 finish for him. And Kevin Harvick had a up-and-down night, had an unscheduled green flag pit stop, but overcame that to finish 10th. And how about Trevor Bayne? Speaking of guys that needed a good night, started 23rd, comes home 11th, and he was up inside the top 10 there late in the race, wound up 11th, but a much-needed good run for Trevor in the sixth car last night. You had Denny Hamlin coming on 14th, Casey Kane 15th. We'll talk about him in a moment. Brad Keselowski finished 16th last night. William Byron in 23rd. And then you had Martin Truex, who had a rough night. He got tagged by Kyle Busch. I overskipped him. He finished 20th. We'll talk about that in a second. And speaking of Kyle Busch, he and Martin Truex got together, and that spun Martin Truex off the inside retaining wall, and then coming up back up the banking, got clipped by J.J. Yaley in a real hard hit, it looked like, from TV. And Truex wound up 30th, and they, of course, were showing him climbing out of the car, and he was very aggravated as one of the places he seems to not get the success here in his last couple of seasons, including his championship run, is the short tracks. That seems to where he has his least amount of success, at least win in the win column, that is, compared to what he does in the mile-and-a-half tracks and road courses. Hasn't had as much success in the win column and short tracks as of late. He came home 30th after being involved in that incident. And then you had the cars taken out in a crash just on lap two of the race when it was Kyle Busch that spun out, and that caused a multi-car pileup. Many of the backmarker cars kind of just plowed into Kyle, and including Michael McDowell, Bubba Wallace, A.J. Allmendinger, Greg Gulling, all knocked out of the race very early on because of that incident, as it got off to a wild start last night at Bristol, and a pretty good Bristol race. We talk about it a lot, the ups, ebbs and flows of Bristol racing from the, you know, high peaks of the late 90s and early 2000s when the place was a sellout, and then the, you know, the transition, when they redid the banking in the corners, and how the race went from all on the bottom back to the top. And now there's Bristol and NASCAR have been trying to fix the track for several years. And last night we saw with, the grip strip on the bottom, but then still that top lane at the top of the wall also comes in late in the race and sets up for some interesting two wide racing, but in two very different grooves, either right down on the bottom or way up at the top. There's not much in the middle there. But I thought it was a pretty entertaining Bristol race. And, again, it was interesting with the strategy there with Busch and Bowyer. And I think there was one other maybe that stayed out there late on tires. But those two were the main two that tried to hold out, as they tried to, their tires were about 40, 50 laps older than, say, Larson and Chase Elliott. And Kurt Busch was able to hang on, and again, huge for Busch. Obviously, not that he was in danger of falling out of a playoff spot, but he's locked in now. He's fourth in the standings coming out of last night. Doesn't have to worry about that for these next couple races here left in the regular season, as we just have Darlington and Indianapolis left in the regular season. We've got an off weekend coming up this weekend for the Cup Series. So he doesn't have to worry about that. Plus, again, his status and where he's going to be driving next year is up in the air. There was the pretty strong reports last week that he was going to Chip Ganassi in the one car with Monster Energy. Kurt has kind of denied all of those reports, and not much more in on that story. We had, throughout this week, it didn't seem like there wasn't much more development, so it's kind of a wait-and-see approach, although it seems pretty likely that Kurt will not be in the 41 car next year, at least based on the other story of the week, or the big driver change story this week compared to the one last week with Kurt. And that was Casey Kane, of course. And Casey announced, what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday morning, that he is not going to run full-time in the Cup Series in 2019. And that was huge news. another big name driver, kind of stepping aside from full time Cup competition. And of course, Casey's had a pretty good career. He's had his fair share of wins. Never been a super threat for a championship, but he's had some successful years. Of course, starting out, he was a development driver for Robert Yates in the Busch Series back in the early 2000s, but then Ray Evernham swooped in and picked him up, and he was tabbed to drive the 9 car after Bill Elliott retired from full-time competition. And Casey had some success in the 9 car for several seasons, and then that team started to go downhill when, Evernham started running out of money, and they merged with Richard Petty Motorsports, and that whole team went on a downward slide. And then Casey signed on with Hendrick Motorsports, but then he had to wait a season to get into the Hendrick car because the deal he signed, he had to wait for the 5 car to open up. And so that forced him to run for Red Bull Racing for a year. Just to kind of help find him a seat because his deal was up with Richard Petty Motorsports. So he drove, of course, the Red Bull car for one season and then made the move to Hendrick. And he had some off and on success with the Hendrick car, but that deal, of course, ended after last year. And this year, he's been in that 95 car, the Levine Family Racing entry, which, of course, one of the middle-tier teams in the sport, lower middle-tier teams in the sport. And Casey's had some good runs, but obviously not in playoff contention this year. Where is he? In the 27th in the point standings, only one top five finish this year, one top 10 finish this year, three DNF. So it's not been a great year for Casey, but again, driving for the team he was, it was going to take a lot for him to be kind of a playoff contender this year. So I'm sure with the downturn in results for his career over the last couple of years, plus he has a son, and he's still very heavily involved in sprint car racing. Of course, his Casey Kane Racing team is one of the top teams in the World of Outlaws Sprint Car Series. Brad Sweet just won him the Knoxville Nationals last weekend for $150,000 payday. So, Brad Sweet and Darren Pittman, his two team drivers, they're one of the top teams on the World of Outlaws. And Casey's now doing some more sprint car racing. He really wasn't allowed to do much of it when he was under contract with Hendrick. But now that he was with the 95 team this year, you saw Casey starting to do some sprint car racing once again this year. And I really think that's what he wants to do. That's what he grew up in, racing in Washington State. So he's definitely not full-time. And in fact, there was another report after that announcement that Casey turned down an offer from Stuart Haas Racing to drive for them in 2019. And one would have to assume that would have been the 41 team. You have to assume that that's the ride that they talked about. But he turned that deal down. So he even had a ride on the table. And at this point, he doesn't want to do it. And, of course, there's several reactions to that on top of, another big name driver here choosing to step away from the sport, and more discussion of the schedule being too long and the economy of the sport kind of being broken with driver deals and sponsorships and salaries and all that, and just the reported downturn in driver salaries and everything. And that's why you see some of these older drivers getting out. Some talk also of the new rules package we'll see for next year, that it might not be popular with the drivers, and that'd be another reason why some drivers just aren't interested in going full-time Cup racing anymore, especially with those that have been in the sport for some time looking to get out because the cars might be harder to drive next year. Just a lot of things connected to this announcement by Casey Kane, but this continues to deal NASCAR a blow with another big name driver on the way out. They're doing what they can, trying to build new talent with these younger guys coming in, and they're just starting to have the success that NASCAR had hoped with, Chase Elliott finally winning this year at Watkins Glen, and some more of these younger drivers starting to have some more success and getting better as the year has gone on, while still having great star power in guys like the big three of Truex, Harvick, and Kyle Busch. You still got guys like that, and your Joey Logano's and Clint Boyer's and Brad Keselowski, some of these veteran drivers too, but still the star power drain will continue going into 2019 with definitely Casey Kane not back full time, and who knows what Kurt Busch's status is going to be next season, as apparently, Stuart Haas was talking to Casey and maybe other drivers looking to fill that seat. Is Kirk going to wind up in the one car? We'll have to wait and see. But this is the interesting part of the silly season in the NASCAR world. But, of course, last night, other implications. The playoff picture, not that it was real cloudy to begin with, but it got a little more clear coming out of Bristol, as basically now every driver ninth in points or higher have clinched a playoff berth, whether on wins or on points. As Blaney, Keselowski, and Larson clinched, mathematically they can't get bumped out of a playoff position. So more than half of your playoff field is set. And then really there's not much chance, though, for guys in a playoff spot to really get bumped out unless they really fall apart these last two races. As Alex Bowman, who is the last car in on points, he has got about an 80-point buffer on Ricky Stenhouse, who was the first car out, so more than a point, more than a race worth of points. Now, obviously, somebody can still win and get in these last two races, but it seems like as the results have shown this season in the Cup Series, you probably aren't going to expect that to happen because so many of the races this year have been won by the big three and the guys in the top of the standings. When you look at how the race winnings have been dispersed this year, the top six guys in the points have combined to win, 13, 17, 21 races this year. That top six in points, and of course, including the 17 alone won by Busch, Harvick, and Truex. So it's possible, but it just seems very unlikely that somebody not in a playoff position currently is going to come in here and win either at Darlington in 2 weeks, Labor Day weekend, or at Indianapolis the week after in the final week of the regular season. Although, of all the places where something like that could happen, it would be Indianapolis. We've seen some, especially if it turns into some kind of fuel strategy race. Remember, Paul Menard won this race, so anybody, if Paul Menard can win it, just about anybody can. And so that'd be a race where it has some kind of potential, but it's going to take either just a crazy good performance that'll be unexpected out of whoever does it, or it is going to be some kind of fuel strategy, tire strategy, or maybe even rain shortened type of finish for it to happen, because you just look at the guys on the outside looking in, and they've just not had any kind of performance this year that warrants that, oh, maybe they can win one, because they've just not had the success. I mean, Stenhouse, we're not going to restrictor plate track in these last 2 weeks. You know, Newman has been better the last few weeks, but again, there's another driver who might be, you know, out of a ride this year, depending on how sponsorship goes. Daniel Suarez has been a real disappointment this season in his second season. Austin Dillon's got the win, so he's the last, of course, he's in on a win, but Menard was off to a good start last night, but then they had some mechanical issues. And then, you know, William Byron's been up and down in his rookie year. McMurray, Buescher, Allmendinger, it's again, really, nobody else on the outside looking in is a threat. So your playoff field is pretty much locked in stone. And I've been saying this since May, really, that there wasn't going to be much moving because that point gap was so huge. And as the schedule's gone on and these opportunities where someone outside of the points positions could win didn't happen. We didn't see it at Watkins Glen. You know, Chase Elliott won. We didn't see an A.J. Allmendinger or anybody steal a win there to get a win. So as the results bear out, it just seems like very unlikely that you will see a driver outside of that top 15, 16 sneak into the playoffs on a win unless some extreme circumstances take place here in these last two races. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Covered a lot of ground there, and again, had to start the show with our guest, Tommy Johnson Jr., but hope you enjoyed hearing from him to kind of kick off the show this morning. But anything on the table in the world of motorsports you want to talk about? Cup, NHRA, IndyCar, local racing. Great show last night at Lancaster with the Tommy Drewer, Tony Jankowiak Memorial 110 for the Race of Champions Modifieds. Andy Jankowiak picking up the win in the race that pays tribute to his late father and late uncle. That was a phenomenal show. We'll talk more about that later. Speaking of local racing, coming up in our next segment, Jody London's going to join us. Jody is a local racer and race promoter based out of the Rochester area. And speaking of paying tribute to people, Jody has become quite the race promoter because every year now for the last seven, 8 years, I'll have to check how many years it's been now, but Jody puts on a race in honor of his late father, Dave London, for the Superstocks. And Jody goes above and beyond, not only promoting the race, but getting the drivers to come and getting a whole lot of lap bonus money and other contingency awards for this event. It gets a lot of money for a division like the Superstocks that doesn't get a lot of big money races. It's become a huge thing, and he's got a lot of people signed up for this race, and he's also built up an equally big money race for the four-cylinder division. That's coming up this Friday night at the Spencer Speedway. So we're going to talk to Jody about that. We had Jody on the show last year, too, and we're going to have him on again one more time here coming up in our next segment. So stay tuned. We got more to come. And, again, plenty of time for your phone calls this morning, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. It's our next-to-last show of the season, as we'll be off Labor Day weekend, and then football season starts. So hopefully you join us here in these last couple of weeks. We'll be back with more here on WGR. I don't know if we'll be able to use that one next year, Mike, with McMurray possibly out of the one car, but we'll wait and see what that brings. But we'll get some use out of it. We got some use today, and we have one more week to definitely use it for this year. And again, our next to last edition here of WGR's Fast Track, 11:32 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. I'm Dave Buchanan. As I said, we've got next week, and then we're off Labor Day. I usually do a show Labor Day, you know, like especially the last couple of years, we go up to the Glen for the IndyCar race, but no IndyCar race at the Glen this year, and I will be on the road, but not at a race of any kind, so won't be able to do a show Labor Day weekend. I apologize. So all you got left with me is today for this last half hour, and then next week it will be our thrilling season finale, and is in true Fast Track fashion, we leave you, of course, with the ultimate cliffhanger. Who will win all the major motorsports championships and all the big end-of-year races locally? You'll just have to follow along on Twitter to answer all of those questions, because we won't be able to talk about it because of the Bills and football season here coming up around the corner. But, hey, it's Buffalo, so got to look forward to Bills season and, more importantly, looking forward to that fantasy football draft. Our WGR, one of our fantasy football leagues. I know Mike's in 37 fantasy football leagues, but he's also in one that I'm in with Paul and Bulldog and some other people, Pat Malacara, Brian Koziel, Dan Cave, among others. Looking forward to that fantasy football draft. I don't play as much as, say, Mike does. I'm only in like two leagues, but this is the draft I look forward to most. So it's football, almost football time. And for some people, it is football time because they get into the preseason, but me, not so much. 11:33 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. As we said, of course, no NASCAR race today because they ran last night. You don't have one next Sunday, but do have some racing on the TV if you are interested. We talked about NHRA. That's coming up at 2 o'clock on Fox Sports 1 in Brainerd, Minnesota. We talked to Tommy Johnson Jr., a funny car driver in IndyCar, is in Pocono today. That'll be on NBCSN later today. What time does that start? I didn't even look. But we do know that Will Power is on the pole for today's race. He will be on the front row with his Penske Racing teammate, Joseph Newgarden. Then it is the Andretti cars of Alexander Rossi and Ryan Hunter-Reay in row two. Simon Pagenaud, Robert Wickens round out row three. Rookie Zach Veach, Sebastian Bourdais in row four. James Hinchcliffe and Takuma Sato round out the top 10 starters today at Pocono. Marco Andretti qualified 11th. Scott Dixon 13th. Tony Kanaan 14th. Graham Rahal, he'll roll off 18th today out of the field of 22 starters for the Verizon IndyCar Series. Racing at Pocono, and the 1:30 it is on NBCSN. So if you want to check that out, you've got a couple options this afternoon on the TV. As the IndyCar season winding down, of course, they will wind up in their season's just about finished. Scott Dixon comes in today with the point lead of about 50 points. 45 points over Alexander Rossi, 494 to 448. Joseph Newgarden with 434. Then Will Power, Ryan Hunter-Reay round out the top five. So Dixon looking to lock up another championship, and he could take a big step towards another title today if he can have a good run today at Pocono. It's just after Pocono for the IndyCar folks. They have three races left with over the next couple of weeks. They go to Gateway next weekend, and then Labor Day weekend they're at Portland instead of Watkins Glen. Of course, the big change there, and then they wrap up their season September 16th at Sonoma. And lots of changes to the IndyCar schedule next year. We already know Laguna Seca is in, Sonoma is out. Then I saw a report this week that COTA might be on IndyCar's horizon, and especially apparently whatever rule they have in place with territoriality and with locations, Texas Motor Speedway, who will be on the IndyCar schedule next year, they can't veto it if IndyCar wants to go to the Circuit of the Americas in Austin. Apparently, before Texas was Texas Motor Speedway in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they were able to say no. That's our part of the country. You can't schedule another race. Well, apparently, whatever deal that had that in place is no more between IndyCar and Texas Motor Speedway. And so if IndyCar wants to go there, they can. If they can get a deal with the folks at Circuit of the Americas, they will do it. So that would be fun to see. That facility just looks phenomenal whenever F1 races there, and they've had some big events there over the last couple of seasons with F1, and they've put some big concerts on. They had a Taylor Swift concert with an F1 race there, but Circuit of the Americas would be huge for the IndyCar circuit. But you'll see, a lot of changes coming up to the schedule for IndyCar. We've kind of been highlighting those throughout the year with, you know, Phoenix also being off. Belle Isle is still on the schedule, although the locals trying to get that race out of the Detroit area, but it'll be a very different looking IndyCar schedule for 2019. Let's go to the AT&T hotline, though, and bring in racing promoter and race car driver out of Greece, New York. Jody London joins us on the line. Gator Boy, how's it going, my friend?
Oh, it is going awesome. How about you, Dave?
I'm doing well, my friend. First off, just good to see you on the big track at Lancaster here the last couple of Saturdays. Last night, driving a modified for Andy Jankowiak last night, and then, of course, running the big Midwest Compact race at Lancaster 2 weeks ago. Just good to see you racing in Lancaster these last couple of Saturdays.
Yeah, it's been quite a few years since I've done that. I mean, last time I was active competitively racing at Lancaster was 2009. So these past 2 weeks, you know, coming back to my second home track, you know, it's kind of fun.
How about just wheeling a modified? I know you didn't get a lot of laps, but how was it still getting able to wheel a modified there last night?
It was very nice. Just going down the back straight, I just said a lot. I'm like, this has a lot more power than the four cylinder does. So it took a little bit just to get used to it again. But longer I went, by the end of the second run I had, which was only feature, I was getting a little bit more comfortable in the car. But by then, I just heard my spotter scream over my ear, all right, they want you to come, and I'm like, oh well, playtime's over. But guess I'll end my career again in modified.
And of course, your teammate got the big win last night, Andy Jankowiak, a good friend of yours, and a huge win for him last night. Of course, winning the race that pays tribute to his dad and his uncle, and it was a great performance by Andy last night.
Yeah, for him, it's so much bigger for him because obviously that's his dad, and
yep,
that's his uncle, that's his race.
Yep,
and he's been wanting to win it so much. I think he's been wanting to win it a lot more than the U.S. Open. And for him to win that, it was pretty cool to see. I know it meant the world to him. I mean, he was much more calm in the pit, back in the back pit
mm-hmm,
after the race. But I know he's only cared about, you know, just winning a few races, and those few races, you know, his dad's race was one of them, and you know he got that checked off his bucket list. So he's getting a smaller and smaller bucket list when it comes to winning races.
And again, was Andy Jankowiak getting the win at Lancaster last night in the Tommy Drewer Tony Jankowiak Memorial Race at Lancaster yesterday evening? Speaking of big, prestigious races, though, Jody, you've got one coming up this Friday night at the Spencer Speedway, paying tribute to your dad, Dave London, and the 11th annual Dave London Memorial. How has it been 11 years for this race?
I don't know. I ask myself every year. I'm like, I just ask myself, well, I guess I'll just do it again. Since everyone's having fun, we're just going to keep going with it. So it's grown, and it's the past 3 years, it's gotten really big. And, you know, I just got to keep trying to outdo myself every time.
Yeah, and you outdone it again. You've got, what is it, over almost $13,000 is in purse money up for grabs. That's just for the super stocks. And you've got a big entry list of drivers coming for this race on Friday night.
Yeah, we have over 50 drivers coming in from all over in New York, and we got guys coming in from Pennsylvania. So it's pretty cool. And you got guys from other states wanting to come in. I always get messages, hey, is there a car available? And usually there isn't. And so guys from even guys that have, you know, cup connections in NASCAR, they were inquiring me about rides that were available. It was pretty cool to see how big it's gotten. And like last year, my one of my bosses, Rick Cluth, he was at a dirt mod race working for Billy Whitaker, mm-hmm. and he's there in the pit, and guy comes up to him and asks him, "Hey, do you know about this big superstock race?" And he goes, "What race is that?" He goes, "Oh, it's in New York." And Rick just smiled. You know, it's like, yeah, I know who it is. So it's getting pretty big.
And now, just over the last couple of years, on top of the superstock race, the four-cylinder event, the Grandpa Dog four-cylinder race, why is it called the Grandpa Dog race? And this four-cylinder race is becoming just as big with a big turnout of entries and a lot of bonus money up for grabs for these guys, too.
So the way this all came about was, it was kind of, for me, it's a funny story because I'm at a hockey game with my good friend Dave Himes, who the race's father is for. And I'm there drinking a beer, and me and him are drinking. And just say, I'm like, "Hey, you know, it would be cool," because at that time it was just my dad's race was on the card, and that was it. And I said, "We should do something. We should put your dad's event on here as well." And he goes, "Oh, cool." So first it just started out, it was going to be at, like, because it had the title Dash for Cash. Originally, it was just going to be 8 laps, 500 to win, go at it. And then it evolved into a monster by August. It evolved into a full-blown race. So it turned into that. And Dave's father, they called him Grandpa Dog.
Okay.
Because Dave and they ran Mike Rods up here in central New York a lot. And that's just how they all called him, was Grandpa Dog the whole time. So that's how the title, the four-cylinder. And then Dave ended up sponsoring the four-cylinder class at Spencer. You know, with the Grandpa Dog four cylinders, and then I just said, "Do a Dash for Cash for your dad as well." And he said, "Yeah, that'd be cool." So that's how that came to be.
Well, it sounds like a phenomenal show. Just two divisions, but a lot of cars. So there's going to be a lot of racing this Friday night at Spencer. What are the times everybody needs to show up, and what's the ticket price going to be this Friday night, Jody?
Lucky 13 is the ticket price for this night. I mean, it's a big show. And it's for only $13. You can't beat that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're gonna have fireworks and things that make loud booms. You can't go wrong with fireworks and things that go boom. And grandstands open at 5 p.m. and heats get underway at 7. So it's gonna be awesome. Last year I was overwhelmed by how many people showed up, and this year is hopefully gonna be even better. So it's gonna be good. Last year there was a lot of drama to the race. Watching Tommy Catalano start from dead last in the Conti. He won the Conti, decided to transfer into the feature, and started last in the feature, and drove it all the way to the front and took the win in that race. So you got to, you know, there's a lot of big things going on in that race, and there's a lot of drama coming with it. So it's something you don't want to miss.
Very good. It's kind of the kickoff to a lot of big end-of-year races because, you know, you got that, and then the following Friday, we've got the big Pops Leedy, Tribute to Pops Leedy modified race the following Friday at Spencer, and that leads us into September and all the big races and the U.S. Open and Race of Champions weekend. So it's kind of the kickoff here to a lot of big money races to round up the season, Jody. Best of luck. Hopefully, great weather, great turnout, and you work so hard on this, my friend. You've done a phenomenal job turning this into a must-see event on the racing calendar every year. I wish I could be there. Unfortunately, my Friday night commitments make it hard, but someday, hopefully, I'll make it out for that race. But best of luck with the show this Friday night at Spencer Speedway.
One day, I will have Dave Buchanan announce my father's memorial race, and then I will call it a career for the Dave Luna Memorial.
We had it at Lancaster, right, once or twice?
He had it at Lancaster, but that was in the infancy day. It's gotten more of a monster now. Now I want Dave there, and so I can stand in the grandstand. Dave, just call it.
I'm sure you're good with. Is Murata going to be there? Who are you going to have on Friday?
Murata and Jay Trainer.
Oh, well, then you've got one of the people I studied under in Jason Trainer, so you've got something better.
that's cool. Awesome.
I learned at the feet of Jason and Craig Wilson when I was starting out as a junior announcer. So you've got the broadcasting family tree right there with Jason Trainer. Say hi to my friend Jason then this Friday. And again, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome, Dave. You have a good one.
All right, Jody London. And again, this Friday at the Spencer Speedway out in near Rochester, Williamson, New York area, just straight down 104. You can't miss it. It's not that far from the Buffalo area. Should be a good show with the 11th annual Dave London Memorial for the Superstocks and the Grandpa Dog four-cylinder event there this Friday night at the Spencer Speedway. And it does kick off some big end-of-year races. And next weekend, we're going to talk next week's show, we're going to talk to Mike Leedy about the Pops Leedy race, which is going to be Labor Day Friday at Spencer, very same racetrack the following Friday. And a huge announcement yesterday concerning that race. Ryan Preece, who of course is now in the Xfinity Series for Joe Gibbs Racing and is one heck of a modified driver, probably one of the best modified drivers on the planet currently, he's going to be in the field for the tribute to Pops Leedy race. And he announced yesterday, along with the folks at Leedy Racing L2 Autosport, that Ryan is going to drive a third entry for the Leedy Racing team, along with Mike and Patrick Emmerling. Ryan Preece will be in a third L2 Autosport car for the tribute to Pops Leedy 75 at Spencer on August 31st, Friday of Labor Day weekend. So that's huge to have Ryan. He's going to be in town anyway because the NASCAR modifieds are at Oswego the very next night. So Ryan's going to come up to Central New York a night early and get to drive two modified races that weekend. So that was exciting to hear yesterday. That should be a great show as well, too. So and we'll talk more next week. I think we'll spend a lot of our season finale next week kind of just running down the whole list of big local races coming up from the Labor Day through September into October, because there is a lot of fun stuff coming up on the local racing schedule. Speaking of local racing, it won't be a long segment, but we do have the local racing roundup, although there are a lot of rainouts, especially Thursday and Friday. But we'll try and hit the results that we do have in the books, and we'll wrap up this edition of Fast Track when we get back here on WGR.
Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
All right, we'll go back to Thursday night, and unfortunately, Genesee Speedway had a big show planned Thursday night, the Gladiator race, as they were going to have a big block, small block, modified shootout. They tried to get started, but the Mother Nature wouldn't cooperate, and they had to give it up, trying to desperately get the show in, but unfortunately, they could not get their show in Thursday night there at Genesee Speedway. According to Rich Vleck's post, the modifieds will be added to their big end-of-year show on Saturday, October the 13th, there at the Genesee Speedway. They already had a big show planned, and now they're going to tack on a modified race, and that might work out. With scheduling and everything, week after Super Dirt Week, they should be able to draw some pretty good contingent of modified teams for that race that won't be off in Brockville chasing dirt points that night. So they'll be part of their fall finale, along with the Street Stocks, Crate Late Model, Sportsman, and Mini Stocks. That should be a huge show October 13th at the Genesee Speedway. Friday night was also a complete washout for most of the tracks we talk about regularly here on the program, including Lancaster Dragway and Ransomville Speedway. Osweekin Speedway did manage. They had a little window there throughout all the rain that was in the area Friday night. Osweekin did get it, and we don't mention their results every Friday, but do got to give a shout-out to the straight shooter, Scott Kruder, who picked up the win in the sprint car feature, driving for Trey Hoddick. Scott got the win over Dylan Westbrook and Mac DeMann, so I have to give Scott a shout-out. We've had Scott here on the program before, so good to see Scott pick up the win Friday night, and the Hoddick Racing team going to victory lane. But everybody else was kind of a washout there on Friday. Also, Hillside got rained out on Friday as well, too. And a couple of their tracks were already off on Friday night. Last night, though, much better weather. And Lancaster National Speedway, we talked about it with Jody London. But Andy Jankowiak picked up the win in the 29th annual Tommy Drewer Tony Jankowiak Memorial 110 for the Race of Champions Modified Series, holding off Patrick Emmerling in the final 20 laps to pick up the victory. Darrell Lewis Jr., another third-place finish for Darrell. He's had five third-place finishes on the ROC Series this year, including three at Lancaster alone. And just can't wait for that guy to break through and get his first win. It'll be so well-deserved when he does. But they're having a great season. He's third in points and had a good run last night coming home in third. then Mike Leedy and Eric Beers rounding out the top five there. The Race of Champions Superstock race was also very exciting. Great battle between Tim Gullo, Joe Mancuso, and Tommy Barron, but Tim Gullo got the win in the $1,000 payday there. Street Stocks, Rich Sharp got back to victory lane for the first time in 3 months, and in the four cylinders, Kevin Bainbridge dominated things to pick up the four-cylinder win at Lancaster last night, and a great show with that Tommy Tony Night. Always a great crowd and a great event, and awesome finish last night with Andy J picking up the win. A very emotional win for Andy. Merrittfield Speedway also in action last night. Adam Plaza got his eighth win of the year in the six cylinders. Tony Kelly in the mini stocks. Chris Watson picked up a narrow win over Brent Bigelow in the mod lights. Dave Bailey, his third win of the year, the Hoosier stocks. Brad Rouse got the King of the Crate Sportsman Series win over Chad Chevalier and Cody McPherson. And Matt Williamson got his ninth win of the year in the 358 modifieds over Ryan Soucy and Pete Bicknell. Genesee Speedway was off last night, and that's all the results. That I got into the news desk here. Tonight, Humberstone Speedway back in action at 6:30. They've got the Gabe Belante Memorial for their sports division. $1,000 to win, 40 laps, and plus all of their regular divisions. And since we don't mention their feature winners that often, because I always forget to go back to their week before, but last weekend's results at Humberstone, Cody McPherson got the BEI Lightning Sportsman Series win over James Michael Friesen and Chad Chevalier. Sean Evans won the Action Sprint Tour feature. Chad Holman, the Rush Late Model feature. Olivier, Do You Smell What LaRock Is Cooking in the mini stocks, and Mitch Dumont getting the win in the Pro 4 trucks there last Sunday at the Humberstone Speedway. Next Sunday is a huge show there at Humberstone 2 in Port Colborne, as they've got the Pete Cosco Memorial Modified Race, and they've got the Race of Champions Sportsman Series next Sunday at the Humberstone Speedway in Port Colborne. So that should be a fun show as well. But that'll do it for us. You got NHRA at 2 o'clock on FS1. You've got IndyCar at 1:30 on NBCSN if you're looking for some racing on the tube today, if you're not going to see it in person. And we will talk to you next Sunday on our thrilling season finale of WGR's Fast Track. We'll talk to you next Sunday.